I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God, and I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. My life will be better after having heard the ever living precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Never, never, never be the same again in Jesus' name. Today I'm going to talk to you about something that eventually it's going to be a book. I have pretty much a manuscript and everything for it. But this past midweek service, I mentioned something. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews, chapter number 10. And I gave a definition that that really stood out to me. And I want you to grab a hold of this today. Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning with verse number 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. In verse number 38, we find out something about God. The scripture says, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. My soul. Now, who's speaking? God is speaking. My soul has no pleasure in him. I made the statement, God really loves for his people to win. I mean, there's an expectation that God has of all of us, and that expectation is to win. That expectation is to overcome. That expectation is to whip anything that gets in your way. And the scripture says, for the just shall live by what? The just shall live by faith. And of course, faith is one of the, you know, that's the fruit of the spirit. But also where faith is concerned, we discover that it's something that we use in this walk that we are called to. And here I want to emphasize the end of verse 38. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. If anyone does what? Draws back. Now, I looked at that word to draw back. You know what it emphasizes? It means to backslide. To backslide. And then I looked at the word backslide. What does the word backslide mean? The first definition from Strong's for the word backslide is to flinch. To blink. I said this on last week, a midweek service. I said, you ever played a game with someone else where you look at one another, you stare at one another and see who's going to be the first one to blink? Hear this. We walk by faith, not by sight. And we are not of those who draw back. In other words, you're not going to get me to flinch from that which God has called us to do. You're not going to get me to turn tail and run from that which he's spoken. Because what God said shall come to pass shall come to pass. Now, of course, we have a choice in the midst of that. Will we receive what he said, and will we stick with what he said? You know, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The scripture said, God was not well pleased with those, the children of Israel, those who were overthrown in the wilderness. He was not pleased with him. God was not pleased with those because he had made provision. Can somebody say provision? He had made provision for them to succeed in everything that they put their hand to. He made provision already. But the problem comes in when we get our eyes off of what God said and we start looking at circumstances. Circumstances will cause you to flinch. Circumstances will cause you to blink. If you spend more time with them than you spend with the Lord. That's why it behooves all of us to stay in that place called there. Stay in that in his presence. The scripture said in his presence there is fullness of joy. You know why people flinch? They don't have no joy. They don't lost their joy. Yeah, and so they flinch all the time. But it's in his presence. We were created for his presence to dwell there. You know, to just abide there. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You can ask what you will and it'll be what? It'll be done. Somebody said, well, I asked it. I ain't seen nothing yet. Why are you flinching? Because if God said something, God backs his word up. Amen. So the key here is to focus on him. And guard that place that God intends for you to be in. You got to guard what you listen to. You got to guard who you hang around with. You know, some people try to be friends with everyone. Everybody not going the same direction you're going in. Some people can be a hindrance to you. And some people say, well, but I want to include everybody. You can't include everybody because everybody don't want to go. Amen. And you have to be okay with that. Because when the master calls you up higher, you have to yield to him. Or you should. We either yield to him or we keep our friends. Remember on the midweek service, I gave you five F's. And these are priorities that we need to have in our life. And number one was our faith. Huh? And because it's an F. You know, church does not begin with F. So people ask, so where's the church fit in? It fit in the first one. Yes, so you got faith first. You had family second. You have fitness third. You have finances fourth. And then you have friends last. And some people ask me, say, well, what about friends? I thought friends should be a little bit higher. I said, how many broke friends do you have? Or you ever try to be a friend somebody and you don't have nothing really to be a friend with? You need to have some money when you have some friends. The Bible talks about, you know, when you got plenty of money, you got lots of friends. Amen. There's some friends you ain't even asked. I said, who is that? How did they get in here? Oh, they said they heard there was a party going on. Amen. Yeah. So your faith is first. Your faith is first. Your family second. And I emphasize this too, you know, that I heard Miles Monroe say this one time. He said, you know, the church is referred to as being in the feminine gender, you know, that the body of Christ. And he said, God never asked me as a minister to spend more time with his wife than I spend with my wife. And that's when we get in trouble, when we spend more time with God's wife than we do with our own wife. Amen. So anyway, I thought I'd kind of throw that in there. Some people get so caught up in the work of the ministry. They don't have time for their wife because they're trying to take care of the Lord's wife. God can take care of his own. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I'm emphasizing a point and talking about that place called there. Protecting and guarding that. If you will, Psalms 133. Psalms 133. And I want to read the entire psalm. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ooh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Psalms 133, beginning with verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord hath commanded the blessing, life evermore. So I read it this way to get the full import of the scripture. Beginning with verse 1, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The last part of verse 3. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Where has God commanded the blessing? That place of unity. And notice he's talking to the brethren. And may I also add the sistering. Amen. And you're not excluded from that. That place of unity is where the blessing is commanded. Did you hear what I said? It's commanded. Commanded by who? Commanded by God. It's commanded on that relationship. That place called there. Walking in unity. In other words, you know, we have to, as Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, we have to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. You know, there are a lot of things I can say, a lot of things I can do that will please the flesh, my flesh. There are sometimes I just want to go off. People don't think I know how to go. I knows how to go off. I knows how to give people a word of knowledge. It's not from the Lord, though, but I knows how to give them a word of knowledge. But I know there's something if I yield to that. Can somebody say yield? If I yield to that, it will affect the commanded blessing upon us. And so we are in charge to guard and not give place to the adversary, because he has nothing to do with our business. I found out that Satan can't stop us. We're the only one can stop ourselves, because you already have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. When Jesus was raised up from the dead, hear this, when he was raised up, he had all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And he delegated it to the church. Delegated it to the church. So you already have authority over the enemy. He's already underneath your feet. Now, for him to get on your back, you have to ignore what you have and begin to yield to the flesh. You have to, walk away from the covenant. Walk out from under the umbrella by yielding to the flesh. And again, we all attempted to yield. And of course, if you want this, the commanded blessing to really work, you got to practice this in your own home. If ain't nobody in your house but you and your spouse or you and your kids, y'all have to guard that. Because otherwise, it'll open the door to the adversary. Talking about that place called there. That place where a commanded blessing, the presence of God, the anointing of God, the breakthrough, everything is right there. But we have a responsibility to guard this. I made this statement before here in this church, and I share concerning one Christmas. my wife, Doug and Colette, we were all together before we opened up our Christmas gifts. And so I was just sharing just a bit. I said, you know, the devil cannot get into this house unless somebody in this house let him in. He can't get in this house. Why? He doesn't have a key. He's not authorized in this house. Now, I said, now, the only way he can get in this house is that someone that lives in the house opens the door and let him in. Or leave a window crack. Huh? You know, teenagers, you know, they got to slip and slide. You know, some people, I heard one guy, he's telling how his daughter figured out, even though he had an alarm system on the entire house, the windows and everything, she had figured out how to raise the window where the alarm would not be tripped and she can go in and out at will when everybody else is supposedly asleep. I tell you, boy, when folks want to do wrong, they figure out a way to do wrong. Now, hear this. They're opening the door to something. They think, well, ain't nobody going to stop me from having fun. They're not even conscious of God. They're not even conscious of their call. They're not even conscious of what they're opening the door up to. You talking about opening the door to Pandora's box? When you walk in the flesh, you open the door to everything in the box. You know what? When I saw that there was a box, I shut that door. And hear this. Every day, on purpose, I guard that. Not too long ago, my wife and I, we were talking about something, and somebody had said something to her. Now, I didn't like nobody talking to her the way they talked to her. And she was telling me about it, and all of a sudden, some thoughts just came into my mind of what to tell them to tell them. And I thought, oh, no, I'm not telling her that. Now, it would have been fitting for the flesh. It would have been fitting for the flesh. It did not include any scriptures. And, you know, I'm not the one that used profanity, but it had a profane word in it. Curse word. Yeah, and I caught it just like that. It's like I was about to tell it, because, you know, when you're in the midst, you're in the river saying stuff, and all of a sudden, that just conveniently is right. That thought is right there, and you go, oh, no. You had to pull that back. Oh, no, I'm not releasing that. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord hath commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, each one individually are charged with that. It's not just the ministers. Because I'm telling you, just like I told the kids, I said, Satan can't get in this house unless somebody in the house let him in. And I said to them, I said, I already made up my mind. I'm not giving him any place. He's not coming by me. What y'all going to do? I say the same thing to y'all. The devil's not coming through me. What y'all going to do? It's a decision we all have to step up to. Because, you know, Pastor Friendly, he knows, you know, I mean, he's been in pastoring a little bit longer than I. And what is it, 20 years? 21 years? Man, you was in the military, too. 21 years, 9 days and six months, 9 days. Yeah. And how many hours was that? Okay. But anyway, he got that down. I heard him say it so many times. But here, he's been pastoring almost as long as he was in the Air Force. But he's learned some things that him and his wife, they doing what they're supposed to do. Living for God, giving it all they got, spending time in prayer. I know sometimes you couldn't even call this guy until a certain hour. Because he can go do like his protege, Dr. Fred Price taught him. Dr. Price taught him there are certain things you do in the morning. You got to guard your secret place. You got to guard your time. He would spend certain amount of hours. He would listen to a CD or every day, at least one every day. He would speak the word over his life at least 30 minutes a day. Speak the word over his own life, not waiting for somebody else to come speak over him. He would speak over his own life. And then there was another thing. He would read 7 chapters every day in the Bible. Now, he's guarding his time. And I know you can't call him until a certain time, okay? Now hear this. With that, with him practicing that, me knowing this, hear this. There are folks in the church that still act up. They're not doing what he's doing. They're taking every opportunity to act out in the flesh. Even though he's being a man of God, doing what he's supposed to do. Hear this. You don't just stay on track. You have to do it on purpose. It doesn't just happen. Do you know that there are a lot of preachers? Do you know that there are a lot of preachers? Preachers are a dime a dozen. But to find preachers that practice the word is another thing. And those that practice the word, those that will guard their secret place, they will have longevity of ministry. They will have lasting impact. And hear this. Now, that's because of a decision that's been made. But yet you'd have people in the church. You know, he may get a call once he come out of his secret place. He may get a call. You need to come down to such and such. Such and such one did such and such. Yeah, I mean, they act. And bottom line, such and such, they acted out in the flesh. Whether they got shot, whether they shot somebody, or whether whatever may have happened. So all that happened because people are not conscious of guarding that place called there. No man is an island. No man lives to himself. We all affect one another. I can't tell you the number of churches that I could even call out some right now and tell you, say, just mention a name. And all of a sudden thoughts will come into your mind of that person. They did not represent God well. Of course, you may have some other thoughts, depending on how it impacted you. And it was because all walking in the flesh comes from forgetting who we are and whose we are. You know, you can be a Christian and act crazy. Again, that's a choice. Amen. But hear this, that place called there. Let me ask you a question. Is if there were a place where the peace of God, the blessing of God, all the power and financial provisions of God you needed were abundantly available, wouldn't you want to be there? I ask that again. If there was a place where the peace of God, the blessing of God, all the power and all the financial provision of God you needed were abundantly available, wouldn't you want to be there? Wouldn't you expend all your efforts and energy and time to get there? If you knew there was such a place, huh? Well, of course you would. Anyone who ever experienced the fullness of God will do everything within his or her power to reach such a place. Now, let's look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We'll see something here. Because there is such a place. Amen. I'll say it again. There is such a place. I'll just read from my notes here. I got it, the scripture written out. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 5. And being assembled together with them, Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of in our own language in which we were born?" Continue, verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Hear this. We know that Jesus had commanded the disciples to preach the gospel to every tongue, to every nation. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. So preaching the gospel became their commission. It became their vocation, if you please. Then on the day of Pentecost, he gave them the power to fulfill it. Whenever God calls you to do something, he gives you what you need to fulfill it. Hear this. Every supernatural call requires supernatural backing. Amen. You're not going to do it in the strength of the flesh. Every supernatural call requires supernatural backing. I tell people, I said, I ain't going nowhere. I had a supernatural call. Amen. And I guess what? I got some supernatural backing. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Some people say, "I don't understand. I don't understand why you still here. Why you still going on?" I said, "Well, that's because you don't know the Lord." Amen. People, they think, number one, there's only power in numbers. They don't think there's power in the Lord. They go by everything is just a network. And they talk about, you know, all the things of the flesh. Very seldom when people are talking about the flesh do they include God in that. Praise the Lord. On the day of Pentecost, he gave them the power to fulfill what he called them to do. He gave them the ability to speak the languages of every tongue and every nation supernaturally without ever having been taught. Then Peter, after receiving, well, everybody know Peter, big mouth Peter, big mouth Peter. He told the Lord, he said, "Lord," he said, "I'll die with you." And next thing you know, we see Peter, he's denying the Lord. "I told you, I don't know the man." Three times. And one translation said he cussed. And they said, "No, you the one." He said, "I told you so and so and so. I don't know it." I'm telling you, boy, the flesh is something else without the Holy Spirit. You may have good intentions, but when it comes to self-preservation, you say, "You know what? He said that was going to happen to him anyway." And you just go on. And because Jesus already told him what was going to happen. He said, "All you guys going to scatter." In John 16, verse 32. He said, "All you guys going to scatter and leave me." He said, "But I'm not alone, because the Father is with me." You know, if you really want to please God, you have to have this complex. God is with me. I don't care what I face in life, God is with me. No matter what I face in life, God will never forsake me. You can't talk me out of that. Did you hear what I said? You can't talk me out of that. I know that I know that I know that I know. I know that God is for me. I do not have to be convinced of that. If you come try to tell me otherwise, I won't even flinch. I won't even flinch. Because I know I'm born of God. I'm born from above. He looks after his own. And so are you. Amen. I said, so are you. So Peter, big mouth Peter, when the Holy Spirit came on him, preached his first message, and 3,000 people got saved. Why was it that 3,000 people got saved? Because they obeyed the Lord's command not to leave Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Now, they had never experienced this before. But nevertheless, for 10 days, they did what the Lord told them. Now, the scripture tells us, I think in Luke chapter 24, that there were about 500 people that saw Jesus when he ascended back to glory. Approximately 500 people. But yet in the upper room, there was only 120 people there. I don't know whether they had to go take care of family business or whatever. But the Lord told them, don't depart until you be endued. So 380 people missed out on that day, that initial experience. Why? They were not at that place called there. If you want to be numbered amongst those that were filled on that day, you had to ignore a lot of things. 380 people flinched. But 120, including Jesus' mother, were right there. Amen. I tell all Catholics, I said, oh, y'all want what Mary had? Yes, we want what Mary had. Well, Mary had them tongs. Y'all need them too. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And Mary was right there with him. Hallelujah. She got that glossolalia as well. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Amen. Now hear this. So this leads us to the question. If we want to experience the same power and partake of that same provision, do we have to go to Jerusalem to the upper room and wait for it like the disciples did? Thank God the answer is no. That place of power and provision is not a location, but a posture. It's not a physical posture like kneeling with one's hands folded in prayer. It is an inward posture of the heart. Notice when they were endued with power that they had been, number one, in one accord. Talk about getting that place called there. Sound like that place of unity, right? They were in what? One accord. And then another thing, it also says us they were praising and magnifying God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you're going to stay in the presence of God, you have to magnify him. Because you start talking about what's going on with the weather, what the president doing, Congress doing. I'm telling you, buddy, it's just a downer. You just won't feel no glory. It just won't be no healings or anything manifested. Because you're not magnifying the healer. Amen, somebody. Let's dig a little deeper to find out if that is the only place the Bible speaks of, this place of power and blessing. Well, we read the scripture again in the Psalms 133. And I'll just again conclude with verse 3. Says there, the Lord commanded the blessing. That place called there. The Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore. Notice the last few words. For there, the Lord commanded the blessing. When the brethren dwell together in unity, the anointing of God, symbolized by oil in the scripture, and the blessing of God are there. Where's there? Is it a physical place like the upper room in Jerusalem? No. It is the spiritual place of unity among the brethren. If you found out where that place called there is and attained it, you would experience the blessing of the Lord because there is where God has commanded the blessing. There's another condition which helps us position ourselves to receiving the fullness of the blessing of God. Psalms 22 verse 3 says that God inhabiteth the praises of his people. In addition to being in one mind and one accord, an attitude of praise unto God opens the door to blessings and power from on high. This is scripture here. I want you to get a hold of this. Psalm 67, verse 3 through 7. The scripture says, I'll never forget when I first read this, and this Holy Spirit just enlightened it to me. It just went off on my inside. It said, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth, Selah. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then, everybody loves what happened after then, but everybody want to do what they need to do before then. The scripture gives a command, let all the people praise you. And then it said, then, verse 7, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. But that's not going to happen until we do what comes before then. Praise and worship is powerful. You know, one thing I think about the children of Israel, that the people would say, they said, there is a, concerning the children of Israel, there is a shout of a king among them. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember we used to say, God is great and greatly to be praised. We used to sing it. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is bigger than all your problems. I found out that whatever you magnify will manifest. So I began to magnify Jesus. Hallelujah. I began to magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. I began to minimize my issues that I was dealing with. And I began to magnify the one who could deliver me from the issues. Hallelujah. The scripture said in Psalms 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of all of them. Hallelujah. So if you want to get delivered, then I'm telling you, you got to begin to magnify God. You got to begin to praise God. You got to begin to shout unto God. Hallelujah. Let the fruit of your lips bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If God inhabit the praises of his people, then you ought to be praising him all the time. Hallelujah. Amen, somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The power of praise. Often we expect God to do a miracle first, and then we will praise him. But God says, no, it does not work that way. You start praising me, and then something is going to happen. We must praise him even in the darkest hours. Begin to lift him up, and something will begin to happen. Something on the inside will begin to work his way to the outside. Hallelujah. You be like the man that was sitting at the gate that Peter and John, they walked by there. He was sitting there expecting to receive some money from them. He was looking for alms. Did you hear what I said? He was looking for alms, and he didn't realize he needed new legs. Oh, hallelujah. And tell you, when you get stuck in your problem, you can't even see straight. Oh, my. Somebody, I heard somebody preach a message on one time about a cross-eyed Christian. Cross-eyed Christian. Got the scriptures all mixed up. Are you a cross-eyed Christian? Do you see things the way God says to see them? Or do you need an adjustment? You know, you see somebody that cross-eyed, you can never tell exactly what they're looking at. You think they're looking at you, and then, but they actually talk to somebody over here. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hear this. Regarding attitude, as we're about to wrap this up, Charles Swindoll said this: the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think or say or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. Attitude will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we make a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot hear this. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 100%, that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. Look at somebody and say, I am not one who blinks. I do not draw back. I do not backslide on God. What he gives me to do, that is what I will do. In Jesus' name, I decree, I will guard that place called there, that place of unity, that place of oneness. I will endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit among my brethren, among my home, among my company. In Jesus' name, I will give Satan no place, and he will not get me out of my place. I choose this day to stay in that place of anointing. Great grace is upon my life as I walk in that anointing. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. That place called there.